You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Hey, hello everyone, and welcome to episode number 403 of the Riverfront, the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me this week, the Godfather, first of all, on the top right of your screen, Bill Lack. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing great. 403. That's hard to believe.
It's really kind of ridiculous, and really, it's embarrassing more than anything.
I don't know if it says bad things about us or bad things about the people that listen.
Yeah. A little from column A, a little from column B. Also joining us, my guy, Nate Dotson. How are you, Nate?
I am feeling holly and jolly in this holiday season.
Oh, really? Nate, did you enjoy last week's elf quote episode we had as much as I did?
I had a little too much fun.
Yeah, it was a little too much fun. That one's evergreen. If you haven't listened to it yet, go to YouTube, go to wherever you get your podcast and listen to the elf podcast. We didn't invite Bill on because he's a curmudgeon, and he's basically like Buddy's dad in the movie Elf.
And I think Will Ferrell is the most unfunny person on the face of the planet.
We are starting off with a hot take.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, we're not going to get into your comments on the last episode, Bill, that caused some consternation. But now you're going to attack Will Ferrell? Really? He's a national treasure.
He's never done a movie that I thought was funny. Not one.
Oh, man.
Gosh, I can name 10.
It's no big surprise that you can name 10 bad movies.
Oh, my goodness.
The next podcast, the 2022 Cincinnati Reds in Will Ferrell quotes.
That's right. And we're inviting Bill on that one.
You better get Garber that week.
No, he's only here for Simpsons quotes. We thought we had Chris Garber. We thought we were going to have, most of the crew here tonight. But some things happened, and it's mostly Nate's fault, frankly. The brothers are in town. I've got 3 younger brothers, one of which is Nate. You've already met. And we're trying to get together later tonight, and so we tried to do it a little bit early, and Chris had, like, a family obligations or something. I mean, what's
weird?
What's that all about?
Yeah, my wife's just mad at Chad for rushing me through dinner.
The 100th time over the years that the lovely
Linda's been mad at Chad.
Mrs. Lack has been upset with me. Speaking of being upset, let's talk about the Reds.
Hey.
Yeah, no. You know, we're going to start out with our topic of the show. And again, if you've already seen the title of this episode, you already know what we're talking about. And the question is going to be, what's on your Cincinnati Reds Christmas wish list? Why, says Bill. It's a good topic. It's a good idea. Obviously, you know, it's the holiday season and Christmas is right around the corner for those of you that celebrate Christmas. And as we do. And Cincinnati Reds Christmas wish list. Now, it was actually Nate's idea to do this topic, I think, when we were putting together these topics. And it's kind of open-ended. What does that mean? Red's Christmas wish list. So, you know, it could be something you actually want to receive that's Reds related. Or what do you want the Reds to do? What's on your Reds Christmas wish list? I'm gonna start with Nate, actually. What's the first item on your Cincinnati Reds Christmas wish list? How do you interpret that question?
I'm excited to see where this goes because we didn't consult each other whatsoever. So this could go all completely off the rails, but for me,
so it'll be like every single episode of this year.
I specifically went for things that I wanted to happen this upcoming season. First up on my list is a healthy Nick Senzel. I want to see him. You know, he's only played 163 games, I think, in the big so far. Just been brutalized by injuries, and you know, he's the type of guy that I think can, you know, fill a lot of holes and solve a lot of problems that the Reds have. If he's healthy, if he's motivated, And he could be sort of a, you know, spark plug. And Cincinnati, they love to rally around their guys. And I think if he starts playing well, the city could rally around him and really just sort of bring that spark back.
Two things about that. Number one, he needs to grow his hair out like Jonathan India.
Good point.
By the way, did you all see the clips of Jonathan India at Tyler Stevenson's wedding?
That's the greatest thing ever.
It's fantastic. You've got to go see that, Nate. It's if you haven't seen that out there, go check out. Tyler Stevenson got married, obviously. Congratulations. Many happy years of marriage to you, Mr. and Mrs. Stevenson. But Jonathan India was having some fun at that party, and it is just glorious. But anyway, so that's the first thing he needs to do is grow that hair out. But with respect to Nick Senzel, you know, we're going to talk some about what to expect, and certainly all offseason we're going to be talking about what to expect from the Cincinnati Reds in 2022. It's actually one of the big topics today because some new projections came out that we're going to get into. But one thing that I think could really – the Reds are not going to go out and acquire anyone. I don't think any of us believe that the Reds are going to go out and really acquire anyone that's going to move the needle, as we typically say. But, you know, a healthy Nick Senzel for a full season – and, again, we've not seen it. He's going to have to show us he can do it. But a healthy Nick Senzel producing like he produced in the minors when he was healthy is kind of like acquiring, a former top prospect. You know, a big time prospect who, you know, is going to be, well, I think 27 this year. No, he's not that old, I don't think. But either way, he's, it's kind of like acquiring a player. And now I sound a lot like Nick Craw at the trade deadline. Well, we're not going to make any trades, but we're going to get a lot of guys healthy. And, you know, it's like a getting players. But it really is. That's in terms of a Christmas wish list, Nate, that's a fantastic wish, because if that happens, it really moves the needle for the Reds.
Until he got to the major leagues, this guy has been an incredible baseball player his entire life, every day of his life. It's not crazy to think that he could bring it back.
Yeah, but again, I'm not going to count on it until it happens, but you're right. It's not crazy. Bill, any quick comments about Nick Senzel? Do you want to get into your wish list?
Well, I have to scratch off my number three item on my list.
You hear that, Nick? You're number one on my list.
I read somewhere on one of the Inquirer columns this week that the Reds are claiming that their relationship with Senzel is not as bad as it's been advertised. And I hope that's true, because it could have something to do with his attitude coming into the spring and or whenever they end up playing baseball. The other thing is, you know, like you said, Chad, if he comes in and is the player that he was in the minor leagues and – it's been 3 years now that he's basically done nothing. I think probably the best you could hope for is kind of a Jonathan India type of season.
That's pretty good.
It's good, but it's not somebody that's going to carry a ball club on their back.
No. But it's a productive player that the Reds
don't have.
We're not counting on that.
Yeah.
So that's
the only thing with Senzel. And I'm not counting on it either, because the kid just hasn't shown that he can stay healthy in the big leagues.
This is the season.
Or in the minor leagues, to be fair.
Well, until he got in the upper levels of the minor leagues, you're right. But listen, right. I'm the world's biggest Senzel booster, because most of that's selfish, because I wrote the stupid cover story for Cincinnati Magazine about how he's the next big thing. Great photo layout, man. We had a great package. And then, of course, the season got delayed in 2020 because of why. And then he's been hurt. And so I need him to deliver so I don't look like I'm even more of an idiot than I already am.
Isn't that kind of the second time that you've kind of killed one of the Reds prospects?
Okay, look. I mean, I'm not going to listen to this slander. Okay? I'm not going to hear this. I love Hunter Green.
I just asked a question. I just asked a question.
Woke up today and chose violence.
He did. Bill Lack chose violence today. That's kind of his role here on the show.
It was just a question.
I don't care if you look through the archives of the Cincinnati Inquirer and think that I don't like Hunter Green. And then I have never
thought you didn't like Hunter Green. I just think you put the mumbulu on him, and the poor kid had ended up rehabbing for a year. And now you did it to Senzel.
That's my fault. Okay. Hunter Green, I love you. I love you. Please don't get hurt ever again.
Ever again.
All right, Bill, what's number one? You told us number three. What's number one on your Christmas wish list?
1 through 10 of what I would like to see for the Cincinnati Reds, and I'm sure this is on everybody's list, is new ownership. Ownership that keeps their promises and that wants to win. I mean, all our other problems are really solved, or if to a large extent, if we got that wish.
That's true. Like,
That's like getting the bike, and then everything else after the bike that you get for Christmas is just, you know, little stuff, underwear.
Yeah, getting that Red Ryder BB gun. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's my big thing, you know, and my number two kind of ties into that, but I'll wait till I come back around.
Well, I want you to wait on that if you will, Nate. But first, let me just mention that that was actually one of the subject of one of our questions in viewer mail. These come from literally now actual viewers. I love it. And this first one comes from Joey Gaditza. All these questions come from our friends at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. That's patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where you can support the podcast as well. But Joey Gaditza, happy holidays, gentlemen. Hope you are all excellent. Atop my Reds wish list is the obvious. Sell the team, Bob. My question is this. This is about as probable as the Expos coming back to Montreal, right? Joey, of course, is our resident Canadian because he's from Canada. Yeah, I think Joey, to answer your question, well, actually, I don't think so. I think there's a chance that Castellini gets out in the near future. But anyway, and I'll address that in a moment. But Nate, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just us here. Everybody that listens to this podcast has it at the very tip top. I thought you were going to say, you know what? I think there is a chance. I think there's a chance that baseball comes back to Montreal. It seems like he's got a grooming young feel for the job. So, you know, it's if we're ever going to be hopeful, this is the time to do it. Write it down, send it to the North Pole.
This was my number one on my list as well, Bill. New ownership. Bob Castellini sell the team. Again, maybe it's just me trying to be an optimist, but I don't think it's impossible that he gets out sometime soon. A lot of it depends on Phil Castellini, who's moved into more of a prominent role within the front office. And, you know, if he's fired up about, you know, being Bob Castellini for the next 15 years, well, then we're in trouble. Bob Castellini, I think again, this is kind of an educated guess. I think it could happen. Would I put money on it? No. But man, somebody like, you know, we need a Mark Cuban to come in. We need Mark Cuban to decide he's going to come in. He's going to buy the Reds. He's going to move the Dallas Mavericks to Cincinnati. They're going to be the Cincinnati Royals part two. And so bring NBA basketball. Well, yeah, they absolutely have to build an arena. Yeah, they need an arena, certainly. But I don't know. I'm hopeful that Castellini will get out. But this is probably just me being kind of trying to be like Nate, glass half full on that.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why it won't be Phil for the next – the parallels that we're starting to see between the Castellinis and the Browns in Cincinnati are becoming more and more stark. And that's not a good, and that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, we've gone through a long, long playoff dry spell with the Bengals.
I'm trying to be positive, Bill. And you brought Mike Brown into the conversation.
I'm trying to be realistic.
It's true. I mean, it's true. No, there are real parallels. Although the Bengals, you know, we'll start our Bengals podcast. You know, I'm having fun watching them.
There's always a sine wave, you know, but. The troughs and, you know, the troughs are a lot deeper than the peaks.
It's true. All right. So anyway, that's a good one. That was my number one as well. So I'll drop down to my number two on the list. And I've got some serious things on my list. I'm going to move some things around. The first thing that I'm going to say is this. I want baseball sweaters to return to Cincinnati. I posted something on Twitter earlier today. In the early 1900s, baseball teams, this is my Christmas wish list, baseball teams wore these like really heavy sweaters. And nobody would wear these today. But go look at some of these pictures. And go if you go to my Twitter, and you should not go to my Twitter feed. But for this specific reason, at Dothan C, but do not follow me. Whatever you do, it'll be a mistake. But I posted about this earlier. Those baseball sweaters from early 1900s are absolutely glorious. And I want the Reds to be the team that brings these baseball sweaters back to life. Do either of you have any mockery to be directed my way?
They look like the sweaters that Tom Selleck wears at the dinner table on Blue Bloods.
I understood one word of that sentence.
Well, I understand. And yet you'd think Will Ferrell is funny. So there you go. And the picture that Chad is talking about, the name of the team was, what was it, the St. Louis Terriers?
Yeah, St. Louis Terriers.
The team name that instills fear in their opponent, the Terriers.
Right. There's a good one. If you go to Google and just look up, baseball sweaters, you're going to do an image search on Google. One of the first ones you're going to see is these just beautiful. It's a Yankee and a Red Sox. One guy's got his arm around the other. And these gorgeous sweaters. Of course, I think the Red Sox guy was flipping the bird to somebody. So it's a famous picture, but they're beautiful. That's my number one, my Christmas wish list is that the Reds bring back baseball sweaters. Maybe I'm not taking this project as seriously as you two.
Don't worry. I got some later down the list that'll fall in line.
Well, let's hear that. What's that,
I'm
Bill?
I'm just a serious guy. You know, I'm just a serious guy all the time.
Yeah, all the time. You on this podcast, you are often, but I know you're away from the podcast, and you're never serious. What's up with that? Listen, I'm sorry, Linda. Nate, what's number two on your list, or wherever you want to go on your list?
You know, when it comes down to making this Christmas list, even as a kid, I never wanted to have that outlandish request. You know, you don't want to bog Santa down with a Lamborghini or a new four-wheeler or something nuts. You want to go with the more reasonable, more actually possible things. That way,
I've got one of those.
So I went with, I want Eugenio Suarez just to be okay at baseball again. I don't need him to be.
Please?
I just want him to be above average. You know, about like 230 would be good. Hit a lot of home runs. That's it. You know, nothing crazy, Santa. I don't need you to perform any miracles here.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Eugenio when we get into the projections that that came out this week. But yeah, man. I mean, you know, Eugenio Suarez, or as I know him, Gino. That guy is literally one of my favorite Reds of all time because he's just he's likable. He's just, I mean, he's been good, obviously. But I have nothing bad to say about Eugenio Suarez, except he's been not good at baseball for a while. In terms of a wish list, that's absolutely what I'm wishing for. Oh man, anything for Eugenio to at least approach what he used to be. Bill,
I agree. There's no way not to root for this guy. There's nothing negative about him. His teammates love him. You know, he plays hard. My only question is, will he get a full time shot unless they find some way to dump Moustakas' contract?
That's a big question for 2022.
Yeah, Moustakas ain't gonna play any at second base unless they're giving India a day off.
I'm gonna add that to my list. Someone to take on Moustakas' contract. That's gonna have to be a Christmas miracle.
That would be a Christmas miracle.
I think so. That's a good question, though, that we're going to explore later. We don't need to go deep into it today, but man, there's a kind of a clog there, and you got two guys, Moustakas and Suarez, who have not been good, and
making big money.
I want to give Suarez more of a shot just because he's our guy, you know, good vibes only. But
I agree. But you know what? You know, they're going to find some way to justify Moustakas' contract if they can't dump him.
Yeah, I mean, Suarez is on a big contract too, but not as big as Moose's. And I like Moose. I mean, Moose is when he's been healthy, I don't think he's been healthy for more than 10 days as a Red.
I don't think he was healthy at all last year.
No, I don't either. Even when he was on the roster, I don't think he was healthy. And so maybe he's healthy next year whenever the season gets started. I don't know. I mean, I like that signing. I didn't hate it. He's not a star. He's never been a star. He's been a somewhat above average player who can play, you know, a couple of different positions. That's valuable. I like that the Reds have Mike Moustakas, but give me Gino at third. Give me India at second. Give me Kyle Farmer at short, and give me Joey Votto at first.
You're a funny guy.
Right?
But when they signed Moustakas, they didn't have the expectations that India was going to be a rookie of the year.
Right.
And no one did.
No.
Yeah. No, that's what I thought. I thought for the next 4 years, we're going to have Votto, Moustakas, I don't know, short, and Freddie Galvis at short. I don't know. Go get a shortstop. And then Suarez at third. And I thought that's a pretty good infield. You actually could have Kyle Farmer at short if, you know, everyone stayed healthy and Suarez had produced like he was had always produced and Moustakas had produced like he had produced and been healthy. That's a good infield, and you could actually survive with Kyle Farmer at short. But Moustakas was not good and not healthy, and Suarez, good vibes only, good vibes only. Bill, what's next on your list? I'm done.
Well, I'm going to go back to kind of feeding off of my number one. It's if the Reds aren't going to try to win, then I want them to go all in. And that's letting these young guys play. Barrero should be out there every day. We should see Hunter and Lodolo and some of these other young pitchers early. And you know what? If you're not going to try to win, then trading Castillo and these guys makes sense.
It does, but no.
I don't want it. That's not what I want.
I know.
But if the front office has made the decision, and even Zip seems to think that they've already written 2022 off, and it's hard to make a counter argument to that with the deals, you know, with the Barnhart and the left-handed pitcher whose name just ran right out of my head,
Wade Miley.
Thank you. You know, cutting those guys loose for basically nothing.
We don't say the names of Cubs players out loud, so you can be forgiven.
So that's my number two.
You know, that was also my number two. Let the young guys play. If, like, just like you said, if they're not going to spend any money and bring anybody in to excite the fan base, at least let us rally around these young fellows. Let me see Dari Moretta. Let me see. I wouldn't mind, like, later in the year. We got Matt McClain down there. Like, let's just bring them all up. I don't even care.
All the kids. You know, I'm not going to go as far as that, but – think about this, a Red starting rotation of Luis Castillo, Tyler Malley, Sonny Gray, healthy Hunter Green, and Nick Lodolo. Give it to me, man. Give it to me. I'm all about that.
That's a high ceiling.
I'm all about that. Yes. I mean, I literally believe this. I'm going to say it out loud. That's the best Reds starting rotation of my lifetime. Am I crazy? I mean, I know I'm crazy, but
yes, I don't know if that answer's crazy.
Is the answer crazy, right?
I think you could make the argument. What was it, 2012? Was that the rotation that they missed one start all year? And
yeah,
that was a pretty daggone good top, you know, 5-man rotation.
Who did we have that year? We had Johnny Cueto, we had Bronson Arroyo. We had Homer Bailey. We had Matt Latos. We had Edison Volquez, right? Is that the five?
Yeah. That was pre-league, wasn't it?
That was good.
Yeah.
Was that Bill?
That was really good.
Was that better than any Big Red Machine rotation?
Rotation? Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
So we have a chance of the 2022 Reds being better than the Big Red Machine. That's what you're saying?
That's what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, if we had if we dig Joe Morgan up, because he would still be better than Moustakas. No, I'm
oh, gosh. All right, we've gone off the rails. Oh, my goodness. We're talking about Robin Graves. Okay, where are we? Who are we next? Is it me?
You're up, Chad. What do you got?
Number two. Okay, number two. Again, to the point of me not taking this nearly as seriously as the rest of you all. I want the Reds I'm going to go for something a little serious. Here's what I want the Reds to do. My Christmas wish list is, it's not that difficult. I want the Reds to sign one legitimate above average outfielder and two relievers. Relievers are relatively cheap. You can, you know, maybe go out and get some, even older guys, but one outfielder and two relievers. If the Reds go out and get one outfielder, and I don't have a name here. I mean, you know, well, I do have a name, Mike Trout. But one outfielder relievers. Yeah. One outfielder and two relievers. I'm ready to roll with this roster as we have it. Yeah. And that's not ideal. That's not the Reds really going all in. It's not the Castellanos deciding to try to compete in 2022. But you give me one legitimate above-average outfielder, two legitimate above-average relievers, and I say we roll. Bill?
Yep. The biggest hole in this lineup is an outfielder. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Maybe it's Senzel. As you all said.
But even if Senzel's healthy, I still think they got a big hole in the outfield. And the other thing they're going to struggle with, I think, is depth. Any injuries at all, and then they're done. And we found last year, we were able to play through a lot of the injuries, and they did fine till they got to what was supposed to be the easy part of their schedule, and then they fell apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, depth is always going to be an issue in Cincinnati because while the Castellanos are here. What's that, Nate?
We got a lot of exciting young arms, but the top end prospect talent from the position players is not great.
Right.
I mean, we got India and Stevenson, but they've graduated to the majors, right. And so yeah, after that,
you can't call them prospects anymore. I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. Anyway, that's mine. That's my realistic one, which is I don't know how realistic it is, but that's not that big a deal. Just get us a decent outfielder. Get us a couple of relievers, and I'm ready to ride with this team.
What would you? I'm not asking for a name, but give me some stats that you would think.
A three wins above replacement outfielder.
Okay,
2.5 to 3 wins above replacement. Just a guy that can play
a little, and it wouldn't even have to be dramatically above average.
I'm not even asking for a star. This is where we are as Reds fans. I'm not asking you to go out and get an actual star. Just give me a guy that can play, man. And because the rest of this roster is not far, it's not bad. It's just not bad. So, oh boy, this is what we've descended to. Just please, just let's a little above average.
Wow.
All right, Nate, what's next on your list? We'll go one time back around and then we'll move on to the next topic.
All right. I'm going to kind of tie into that for you. I've got the answer. I've got your answer right here. So I'm going to have to set the scene a little bit. I think it's April 22nd in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's Firework Friday. The Reds are playing the first of a 3-game set against the St. Louis Cardinals. The St. Louis Cardinals have had an exciting offseason. Once baseball returned, they signed Nick Castellanos, and they're pretty pumped about it.
Hold on. Wait. Oh, so, whoa, 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 whoa. You're saying my guy Nick went to St. Louis?
Right, so, but it gets better.
Hold on. As of right this second, this is Nate's last episode ever front podcast.
Let's see if I can
continue. Continue.
And no Christmas presents for you, Nate.
Right. I'm putting him in the fireplace.
Ballpark. It's a full ballpark. Nick is off to a suspiciously slow start. I'm talking, he has been playing bad.
Okay.
We're okay with that. It's his first at bat. He's back in Cincinnati. The crowd is mixed. There's some booing going on. There's some cheering going on. And right before the first pitch, he calls timeout, runs over, drop kicks Yadier Molina, rips his jersey open, wearing a Reds jersey underneath. Boom, ultimate WWE heel turn. Castellanos has been with the Reds the whole time.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I retract what I just said. Nate is permanently on this show forever.
Actually, he doesn't drop kick Molina. He flying drop kicks Molina.
There we go. There we go. Oh my gosh, I love it. I adore it. There's a single tear running down my cheek just thinking about it.
He's playing it now. So Castellanos,
of course, the idea of Castellanos signing with the Cardinals made me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
That's true. It's true. Oh. I like Nick Castellanos. Hope he goes to the American League if he leaves Cincinnati. All right, Bill, what's next on your list?
Again, mine are pretty easy. Continued improvement from India, Winker, Stevenson, and Molly. The young basis of this franchise right now. They have to continue to get better.
That's kind of our biggest hope, right? If they continue to get better, we got a hope in the next few years.
Yeah.
Well, I've just been re-listening to the Big Red Machine thing that we did, Chad, and that's one of the things that was the downfall of the Big Red Machine. The guys that they thought were going to continue to get better and better and better didn't. You know, the Geronimos, the Griffies, the Concepcions, they never became the stars that the Reds front office thought they were going to be. We need these guys to be stars.
The next generation.
Yeah, exactly.
Nate, what do you think?
No, I totally agree. I mean, we all want to have another bat in the lineup and a little, you know, some improvement there. But if three or four guys just get a little bit better, you know, those numbers can balance out, or at least you can make up for some of it. So, man, that's part of the reason I have as much optimism as I do for this upcoming season. It's like, we got some young guys, and if they do keep getting better, this can be a fun ball club to watch.
This is something I think we need to really kind of keep in mind over the next few months as the season approaches, assuming we get a season, which is that, yeah, the Castellanis are awful. I mean, they're the villains in this Christmas movie, but there are some real talent here, and it's not like the years where the Reds, we knew they were going to lose 90 games every year. It's not, we're not there. And so, I don't know. I mean, you know, there are real reasons to be pessimistic about the Cincinnati. It's 100% related to ownership. But there are other, you know, kind of items that you can look at to say, well, but we got some talent and more talent than we've had in a while, you know, since probably 2012. And so, I don't know. I want to be optimistic, but gosh, I just wish ownership wasn't working against what, you know, what we actually have on the field. So that's a fantastic one. That's a fantastic one.
Let me ask you guys a real quick question. We agree that the Reds after 2019 reversed directions. They looked like they were going to get in. You know, they were going to go out and spend some money. Blah blah blah.
And they did spend some money.
They didn't go, like you've said multiple times, they didn't go all in, but they went a little in.
They went in.
Yeah. But then the pandemic hit, and there's no doubt that every team in baseball lost a boatload of money in 2020.
Well, I doubt that they lost a boatload, but that's a different story.
Anyway.
They didn't make as much as they were expecting.
You don't think they ran in the red?
I don't think they ran in the red, no.
Okay. Anyway.
No matter what, show me their books.
Even if you go by, they didn't make as much money. Do you think they're still now trying to make up the money from that, or are they just, or has there been a change in philosophy?
There's been a change in philosophy, is my opinion. I think that I think what happened was Dick Williams leaving? What's that?
Was that Dick Williams leaving?
I think Dick Williams saw the writing on the wall that Bob Castellini got freaked out by the pandemic and the lack of revenue that he was expecting to come in literally immediately after they went in, tried to put together a winning ball club. They really did, for the first time in a long time in Cincinnati. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the pandemic screwed the Reds more than just about any professional sports franchise anywhere, because ownership got skittish.
They panicked.
And the Reds were right on the verge, man. They were right on the verge. Oh, that's so frustrating. I think we need to end.
You agree, Nate?
I don't see how you can disagree, unfortunately.
But listen, you're not going to survive long on this podcast if you agree with Bill Lack. Don't do that ever again.
That was a terrible take. Go Will Ferrell.
Go Will Ferrell. All right, let me give my last Christmas wish list, and then we'll talk about if you got any residual ones you all want to add. Here's my biggest Christmas wish here of the ones remaining. I want the Reds to sign two new coaches. It's a dumb thing to wish for. Coaches? Here's what I want. I want Adam Dunn as the Reds' hitting coach / team bartender.
Love it.
And I want a new assistant pitching coach. I can't get rid of Derek Johnson. I mean, I love the guy. But we need an assistant pitching coach. And here's what I'm going to say. For the first time since we've moved to a video format, I'm going to say it. Luis Alberto Bonilla. You got to bring Luis Alberto back. That's my Christmas wish. Bring Luis Alberto back. Who disagrees?
If we're Christmas wishing on coaches, I want a new third base coach.
Yeah, but you've hated every third base coach since the Big Red Machine. Right.
They haven't had a good one since Alex Grammas.
Alex Grammas.
I just want Adam Dunn to write Nick Kroll's speeches.
As we've decided, Nick Kroll is bad at talking. Yeah, and Adam Dunn. Oh man, Adam Dunn.
Don't you think Adam Dunn as a coach would kind of be like stunning Steve, or like Steve Austin on the WWE? Come out with the beer cans after the game and bust them together. And
Nate, I don't know. Every time it's funny. Every time Adam Dunn comes back to a Cincinnati Reds related event when he was inducted into the Reds Hall of Fame, he was double fisting Bud Lights. And then I think he came back for the Marty Brenneman induction, and every picture you saw of him, he had a drink in his hand. I'm telling you, I want Adam Dunn involved on a daily basis with his team. He'll never do it. He's got enough money. He didn't have to, you know, and he's now an actor in an Academy Award nominated film, Dallas Buyers Club. But the Reds need to get Adam Dunn back because he's probably the greatest Red in the history of this franchise.
I agree.
I'm waiting for Bill to talk about Bill Plummer or somebody from the 70s.
I'm a big Adam Dunn fan. I think you might be, you know, stretching the blanket a little bit. But, yeah.
All right. Any other items on your Christmas wish list, guys, that you just feel like you're compelled to mention?
The only other one I had that I thought could really help this team would be another healthy year from Tyler Naquin.
Yeah.
Hopefully you wouldn't need him to start every day, but he could give him some, you know, if he's healthy, he could give him some good depth in the outfield.
Great fourth outfielder.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. Nate, you got anything else you want to add off your list?
Agree with Bill again. This is getting dangerous.
Don't do that.
Yeah. You get a reputation.
The only other two items I had, we don't need to go into a long discussion. We're just, one, I would love to see a perfect game. You know, I think it was 88. Tom Browning was the only one. I wasn't old enough to remember things then. So I would love to see a perfect game this year. And two, I at the risk of keeping this PG, PG-13, I want Joey Votto to still bang.
Please.
Yeah, Joey Votto can just keep on banging.
Absolutely. Okay, so we decided the number one item on our Christmas wish list, baseball sweaters.
The Terriers.
If that means we're wearing sweaters to watch the Reds play October baseball.
There you go. I like it. I like it. All right. There's a little bit of news of the week. Actually, there's very, very little news of the week. But before we get into that, I want to just very quickly ask your guys' thoughts on the topic of my newsletter this week. You go to chaddotson.com. You can subscribe for free. You shouldn't. Again, I don't encourage that. But I wrote about something this week that I've been wanting to write about for a while because this was my first favorite player of the Reds. And Nate, you don't have any memory of this guy, I'm sure. But, and my piece started out about, you know, I talked about the month and the year of when I was, anyway, go read it, but it was the month and the year that Nate was born. So, but anyway, Mario Soto, I declared him the most underrated and most unlucky Red of the last, you know, 50 years, really. Underrated because for the same reason that he's unlucky is that he came along at a time when the Reds were just not good. They were between the, you know, 1990 championship team, the 1970s Big Red Machine. And Mario Soto, though, I came along at the time when the Reds were garbage. And that guy, I love that guy. And so, Bill, any thoughts about Mario Soto quickly before we move on to the news of the week?
I was a big fan, too. The column you wrote was very interesting. And we talked about this we texted about it yesterday. You talked about a sporting news that you got that had Soto on the cover, and it also had Joaquin Andujar, and we both joked about the fact that at one time they both belonged to the Reds.
What a 1-2 punch that would have been.
Wow. There'd been a lot of brawls. They would have been in a lot of brawls.
Yeah. And you're right. I didn't mention that about Joaquin Andujar being a former Reds farmhand, but one of the other things I cut was I wanted to talk about all the brawls that they had because and Mario Soto was involved in those. And one was Mario Soto versus Claudel Washington of the Braves. And, you know, we've got one brother, Nate. I'm sorry, I got to call him out and we can mock him when he gets here later tonight. But we got one brother that's a Braves fan. I know. I think I've mentioned this on podcast before, but so he's the one that's closest in age to me. And so we would play one-on-one wiffle ball sometimes in the front yard. And I mentioned this part in the column that I wrote, is that in my head, I was always Mario Soto. That's the guy I wanted to be, man. Mario Soto. And my brother was, in my mind, Claudel Washington, the Brave, go to YouTube, look at that clip of them fighting. It was fantastic. And frankly, every wiffle ball game that my brother and I played in, I would throw at his head and he would throw a bat at me and we'd end up fighting because that's what we did when we were kids. Nate wasn't around at that time, but that's just what happened. So anyway, Mario Soto. Nate, quickly, I don't know if you got any thoughts about Mario Soto. That's before your time.
I mean, questionable writing quality aside, it was a pretty fun read.
Gosh, who came here and chose violence today? Wow.
People that are years of my age, I have no knowledge of Mario Soto. I know you liked him, so I knew a little bit about him and, you know, reading Red's books, but you don't have any idea how good he really was, how good he could have been. So I enjoyed the read. I encourage anybody that wasn't around for the Mario Soto era to go back and read it and learn a little bit about someone who, you know, could have been great and was great for a little, you know, short bit of time.
The reason I put it into print was because it's not really, you know, for my magazine column, it's not really there. And we couldn't figure out how to put it into the Big 50. The Big 50. We couldn't figure out how to fix it. That's a book. You don't need to read it. Chris Garber wrote all 25 of the best chapters of a book you're ever going to read. But what you just said, Nate, is the reason why I've always been wanting to write about Mario Soto, is that, man, people of this generation don't really understand that this guy was a Reds legend. And he just came along at a time where everyone around him was garbage. And so then he got hurt and he was signed through 1990. He had a contract through 1990. He could have been on that championship team, but injuries, he was basically done at 31. So, anyway, Mario Soto.
He was the best player on some really bad teams.
It's true. Okay, now, news of the week. The Reds actually signed someone, Jack Bauer, to a minor league contract with an invite to spring training. Jack Bauer, if you don't know him, he was a retired American serviceman and former federal agent. He was responsible for saving numerous American citizens from potentially devastating terrorist attacks on more than one occasion. Right? Jack Bauer?
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah. Oh, well, hold on. Let me look. I'm getting a message from our home office in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It was actually Jake Bowers. Right, it's not Jake Bowers. Jack Bauer was from the show 21 that I've never seen a single episode of. But
24, not 21.
Did I say 21? Well, I wanted him to be younger. I don't even know what that show's about.
I think they should sign Jack Bauer.
He'd be better than Jake Bauer. Jake Bauer is a first baseman outfielder. He's been with in the big leagues in three different seasons with Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Seattle. He's not good. He's going to be 26 this year. I mean, he's depth, I guess. Do either of you have any thoughts about the Reds signing first baseman outfielder Jake Bowers to a minor league contract with an invite to spring training?
They should do it. Sorry, go ahead, Bill.
He had a pretty good about a half a year in 2018 with Tampa. He was okay.
I think they should sign guys like him. He was a top prospect once in his career. It's not like we're guaranteeing him a spot in any rosters. Like, sure, I'm not going to get excited about it. Maybe he catches fire and we're talking enthusiastically in a few months. But right now, it's just like, man, whatever. They should be signing guys like that while they can do.
It goes back to what Bill was talking about earlier. Depth, it's depth. Whatever. I don't have any issue with it. It's just, I'm not sure we're going to get anything better than that.
Triple A filler.
Yeah, Triple A filler, and actually, if he has to come up to the big leagues, whatever. He's better than probably what they had before. So what other news do we have this week? Really none. That was all of the news. Obviously the major league players are still locked out by the owners. And so we're not going to see any big league signings, which is good because, no other teams are signing players. The Reds weren't going to sign any players anyway. So we're keeping the other teams from trying to get competitive. The other thing I wanted to talk about was this week, Zips projections were out. And these come from our guy, Dan Szymborski. I love the guy. He's, I've actually seen him at Reds games. He writes at Fangraphs.com, and he does these projections, the Zips projections. And basically they're just, it's math largely, but what are players going to do next season? And the projections that he generally does, Szymborski, are relatively accurate. They're the best, I think, the best projections you can get of what's going to happen. Nobody can project, obviously, because these are human beings. But so his projections came out and had the Reds at, they look like kind of an average-ish team. He said that they're going to be, right now, they look like a team that's a few games above 500. And, they could still screw things up by trading some guys away the rest of the offseason. But right now, they're not that bad. Kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. This is not a terrible roster, but those Zips projections, they didn't make me optimistic, but they made me think, they reminded me that this team's not terrible. It's not back to the old bad Red. So, Bill, any thoughts about the Zips projections?
Well, the article is kind of interesting because the Jose Barrero link takes you to Jose Castro.
I didn't notice that.
But other than that, now I'm like, it was interesting what they said about the bullpen. They said that they thought the bullpen was already better than it was last year, which is kind of interesting.
Good point.
They projected big improvement from Art Warren, of all people.
Yep.
And they projected Amir Garrett to be kind of average, which I'll take that. Anything else, Bill?
No. Other than that, it's they basically said also that the Reds have already thrown in the towel.
Nate, thoughts?
I'm not so jaded that I'm going to, I'm pretty excited. 500, a couple games over 500, That means they're one of the best Reds teams in my lifetime.
Oh, gosh. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Here's the bar where it should be. Here's the bar where it is now.
I read that, and I was like, oh, man, we might get a wild card berth. Who knows? By the time they collectively bargain it, they might let every team in the playoffs anyway.
Well, that's true, actually.
NCAA tournament.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about the NCAA tournament because neither of my schools are going to be there this year. But, that's true if they do expand the playoffs, and that may happen. I don't know. We don't know what the collective bargaining agreement is going to say. But, I don't know, go to Fangraphs and look at these Reds' Zips projections. For the offense, they projected that, India's going to be good again. Tyler Stevenson's going to be good. They expect Votto to drop a little bit. They expect Barrero to be better than Farmer. They expect Suarez to be, not awful.
Better.
Christmas. Yeah. I got my wish.
It's right. A miracle.
And pitching, it makes the point that we've all been said that there's some decent, guys in this pitching rotation, the starting rotation. And then but they also, the Zips projections also think, Lucas Sims is going to be good or Warren's going to be good. And think, Amir Garrett, Luis Sessa, Jeff Hoffman will all be average-ish, and then Dari Moretta. Good projections for Dari Moretta, the guy who was great in the minor leagues, who the Reds couldn't find room for in their bullpen this year. I don't know. I'm kind of like Nate, which is that make what you want. This is all math, and don't count on it. But it's a reason for optimism, right?
Oh yeah.
All right. You all want to answer some viewer mail questions?
Sure.
These are questions that come from actual viewers. Literally. Now, actually, I don't know that all of them are viewing us on YouTube. YouTube.com/RiverfrontCincy. Let's go with the first. We've already done the first one. Let's go with the next one, which comes from our buddy Calvin Medcalf. Patreon.com/RiverfrontCincy. Calvin Medcalf asks this question. Happy holidays, guys. Thanks so much for a great year of content. Hey, you're welcome, Calvin. It was a great year of content. On my Reds wish list is a decent free agent and a replaced front office. But maybe Reds fans just deserve Cole. I don't know about that, man. What? I get it, but I don't know. My question is, what's the best holiday dinner side dish? What is the best holiday dinner side dish? We'll find out in a couple of days, or after you all have seen this, it'll be maybe one day later. But Bill, what's the best holiday dinner side dish?
I'm kind of a traditional guy. I mean, if you're doing, you know, like a bird or something, I'm a big stuffing guy. I like the green. We make green bean casserole here using cheese sauce instead of cream of mushroom, and gets a little cheesier. We like that.
Does Linda prepare that?
Usually, yes.
Okay, that's my favorite.
Okay. Don't suck up now, Chad. It's too late.
Nate, what's your favorite holiday dinner side dish?
I don't know if it's going to qualify, but something we've done my entire life. I don't know when Dad started doing it, you, Chad, but our dad always makes these sausage balls on Christmas Eve, and we eat them all throughout Christmas Day. So it'll just, it's like sausage, breadcrumbs, and some cheese. And like that's my nostalgic Christmas dish for sure.
I was going to go elsewhere. I was going to go with the mac and cheese, but Nate, you're right. That is a tradition that we had since I was little, which is many, many moons ago. And it's something we're doing with our family now. My wife's gotten into it, and you know, we're sausage balls, man, sausage balls. Fantastic. So, so basically what I'm saying is Linda's green bean casserole is the worst.
Okay.
Please don't tell her that. I know she won't listen, but please don't tell her that.
She loves you anyway.
Joe Farsing asks, fellas, what's the one gift you really, really, and these are in capital letters, what's the one gift you really, really wanted as a kid, but you never received? I'm going to start out on this one. As a kid, I don't know, I was a teenager at the time, but around 89 or so, I just became a huge Barry Larkin fan. You guys know Barry Larkin, right?
Heard of.
Yeah. Well, all I wanted was, and this has become a family joke over the years, all I wanted was a Barry Larkin jersey. I wanted a Barry Larkin jersey to wear around the school, you know? And I asked for it in like 89. Didn't get it. So 1990, the Reds win the World Series. I asked for it again. Barry Larkin. That's all I asked for, literally, in 1990. The only thing I asked for Christmas was a Barry Larkin jersey. Nope. And so 1991. All I asked for was a Barry Larkin jersey. Now, we have outstanding parents, and I love them dearly. They just weren't listening to me because I was a jerk as a teenager, I think. And so I understand. Barry Larkin jersey. What's that?
As a teenager?
Yeah, yeah. I knew that's where you're going to go. Right. Yeah, I continue to be a jerk. Thank you. So it became a joke at that point, and every year I asked for a Barry Larkin jersey. And I never got one. And I don't know why. Ultimately, you know, I got married later, you know, with the law school, got married, you know, and finally, after I got married, my parents kind of dove in and got me a signed Barry Larkin jersey at one point. So they ultimately came around, but that's the one thing I really wanted. I couldn't think of anything else, like any kind of toy or anything like that younger, but it became a family joke that I didn't get my Barry Larkin jersey. And so I did finally get one. Nate, you got one here?
I had one thing, I guess. There was a 1 year of my life when I was in middle school and skateboarding was really starting to take off around here. And I had never been on a skateboard, but other, you know, kids my age were starting to do it. And I was like, you know what? This is what I want. I want to get an awesome skateboard, and I want to see my super cool skateboarding buddies. That's all I asked for Christmas. Unlike you, Mom and Dad did get me a skateboard. I remember being super excited when I ran out there, and then I lifted up. And it's about half the size of an adult skateboard, and it has the Goosebumps, like the book series, the RL Stein Goosebumps logo on the bottom. So I took it out. I was ashamed to bring it out in front of my friends with their like awesome top of the line skateboards. I did ride it down the hill by the house one time, fail, scuffed my knees, and never took it out of the attic again.
Can I say we do need to make clear, we really do have the best parents ever. I mean, we do, but yeah, that maybe not was a high point for them, right?
I think the moral of the story is don't get your kids the best present. Like, they turn out okay.
Exactly. Bill, you got an answer to that one?
Well, I got two comments first. Is it in the closet there behind you?
It very well could be. I don't know if anybody's been in that attic and like continue.
Go ahead, Bill.
And Chad, the problem with getting a signed jersey is you can't wear it.
I've got it right here next to me. I need to pull it out from under some stuff, but so I haven't even framed
it. Your heart was in the right place, but you wanted a jersey that you could wear.
Yeah, I want one that I could wear around high school, you know.
Anyway, I really don't have something. Nothing that I can remember that that I really, really, really wanted. I'm going to kind of cop out on this, and I don't ever remember being disappointed that I didn't get something that I really wanted. I was very blessed.
That's not a cop out. That's magical.
Yes, fantastic. Can I say, just kind of moving on what Bill said a moment ago, if you're watching on the YouTubes, that's a website on the internet, youtube.com. If you're watching youtube.com/riverfrontcincy, you'll see that Nate's he doesn't have his whiteboard behind him. He's in a different location. And he's actually you're going to go to YouTube to watch this now. He's in my childhood bedroom. And then when I went away to college, it became Nate's childhood bedroom. I mean, that's hallowed ground, Nate. There's not a shrine there.
Several years laying around this room with, you teaching me about the Reds beside a Paula Abdul poster.
Oh, you went there. It's true.
Good times.
There were two Paula Abdul posters in that room. There was a Barry Larkin poster too, though.
Eric the Red.
Eric the Red poster. That's right. We had an Eric Davis poster.
Just to share the difference in our ages, Chad, I had a Farrah Fawcett poster.
I've seen that poster. It's a good poster. But Nate just called me out, man.
He exposed
me publicly. It's a good thing I love him because
no shame in that. There's no shame.
Hey, Paula Abdul, man, come on. You kidding? Straight up now tell me. Is she not the best? All right, we gotta go to the next one. We gotta get out of here. There are gonna be more secrets exposed if we stay here longer. Next one comes from Kyle Kapler. Kyle Kapler asks, in 10 years, would Scott Heinemann, wait a minute, first of all, who's Scott Heinemann? Does anybody know who Scott Heinemann is?
I never heard of his name.
Yeah, obscure former Red, I guess. Would his name be easier to remember if it was Scott Heineken? Well, the answer to that's yes.
Yes.
Because I don't remember Scott Heinemann by choice. But his next question is, speaking of which, what's your favorite holiday drink? Favorite holiday drink? Bill?
I'm a beer guy all year round.
Boy, that was the most predictable answer in the history of this show. Bill's a beer guy all year long.
No, I will drink red wine, but I am generally a beer guy.
Nate?
Yep. Red wine, full-bodied, dry red.
Okay.
Three glasses. Mom and Dad have a couple. Ghost stories come back out. I'm ready.
Oh, those are great stories, yes. Let me just tell you, I'm glad that neither of you said eggnog, which is the worst holiday drink. If you like eggnog, unsubscribe immediately. I don't want you as part of our audience. For me, it's the same, whatever. I'm going to say favorite holiday drink, water or bourbon.
Water with bourbon in it.
Water in bourbon.
No, why would you put water in bourbon? That just ruins the bourbon.
You know what W.C. Fields said?
What did he say?
Never drink anything that fish go to the bathroom in.
I've never heard that. And that's literally the best advice I've ever heard in my life.
Words to live by.
Oh, my gosh. So, Nate, when we get together a little bit later tonight, no water for anyone.
No water.
All right. Final question here. This comes from our buddy Seth Shaner. Seth Shaner asks, I recently saw in my Facebook memories my posts in reaction to the Yadiel Puig Homer Bailey trade. That trade was significant at the time, if for no other reason than the ingenuity shown by Dick Williams. Compare, contrast the difference between that moment and the following offseason. We've already talked about 2019 versus 2020 offseasons, pre-COVID spending, to what we're dealing with now. It's why I believe this current situation is so much more painful and the typical thrifty ownership before 2019. So that Homer Bailey trade, Homer Bailey was traded along with Jeter Downs and Josiah Gray to the Dodgers. The Reds got Matt Kemp, Yasiel Puig, Alex Wood, and the best return from that trade, cash Oh no, they also got Kyle Farmer.
Yeah.
And you know, whatever, it was whatever, but it was also, it was a moment where we're like, oh, that's interesting. And I think Seth is right. It was creative, but that's what is so frustrating about what we have coming in 2022 is that the Reds, listen, this pandemic has screwed everybody. It's been the worst for everybody. It's the dumbest pandemic in my lifetime, but for Reds fans, it really caused Castellini to take a step back. And that's why it's so frustrating to me is that the Reds were finally, for the first time in, really the first time since the 90s, I think, serious about putting together a real team. And yeah, Seth, you're right. That's why it's so frustrating to me. Bill, I'll go to you first. Any thoughts on that?
I agree with you. It seemed like Dick Williams and the other people in the front office had finally got ownership to play the same game that everybody else in baseball has been playing for a while. And he panicked, you know, after the pandemic, he just saw red or saw not as much, you know, black ink as he thought he would, whatever. And he panicked and, you know, reversed course, and we're going to be paying for it for a long time.
Nate,
I'm not going to let this podcast end on a negative note.
Thank you. All right. So I guess that's about all we've got tonight. Do you have any final thoughts for our viewers out there in Reds Land? Nate, any final thoughts?
No. Everybody, hope you get to spend a nice few days with the family and have a great Christmas and holiday season. And, you know, go Reds.
Go Reds, right, man? Come on. Bill?
Chad, I think this may be the shortest podcast we've ever done.
I think you're right. We hope to get below an hour, but we didn't quite make it. But
I've left a fiance with her future in-laws downstairs for the last hour, so this has been a long, long podcast.
So you may or may not still be engaged.
Yeah, really. Nate, bring her to my house. I'll give her a long hug. I mean, just and apologize to her. It's my fault. I admit
long
it.
Long hug and a bunch of liquor.
Plenty of that. Listen, guys, thank you all so much for joining us. Bill and Nate especially, you know, I mean, it's you know, yeah, I mean, we're right here on Christmas, and when it's holiday season and you guys were able to take some time away from the families, I've clearly gotten on the wrong side of both Nate's fiance and Bill's wife, and I apologize for that, but I appreciate all of you all that are listening to the Riverfront. We've had so much fun here in the last few weeks as we've kind of changed things around a little bit. I'm actually genuinely excited about what's coming up in the upcoming Red season for a lot of reasons, but mostly because of this family that's kind of built up around the Riverfront. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're at Riverfront Cincy on all those platforms. At YouTube, we're youtube.com/Riverfront Cincy. Give us a thumbs up, smash that subscribe button. Come on, help people find us. As we always say, if you like us, talk about us. If you don't like us, just keep your mouth shut. Audio, if you're just listening to us on podcast like you have been forever, we're going to continue to stay an audio podcast. Subscribe wherever you find podcasts. And of course, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/riverfrontcincy and you can support this kind of ongoing effort to have a little fun following the Cincinnati Reds in this kind of trying time in some ways. I want to say to Bill Lack and Nate Dotson and to all of you out there listening, hey, listen, have a Merry Christmas. If you don't celebrate Christmas, happy holidays, whatever you celebrate. Let's have a good time, you know, kind of enjoying your family. And the family that's grown up around this show is meaningful to me. And I hope all of you have a really good time. So for the guy that refused to join us tonight, Chris Garber, and Bill Lack and Nate Dotson, this is Chad Dotson saying, so long, everyone.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's pear.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.